Welcome to Lead for Clarity, where we help you, your team, and your organization focus on what matters most to get to your next level. My name is Shondell Sutherland, and I'm here with Melanie. I love this every other week thing, but I miss seeing your face.
Definitely, I know.
So today we are going to jump into this theme that we have in 2024, which is about really mastering time, helping people with their time as a leader, as a partner in life, as a parent, all these pieces of life that we play. We talked about having values and making sure that you're really orienting your life around your values. And we did this fabulous podcast series that we're just ending, and we had a great webinar on delegation and really, getting your time that of the things that you love doing and helping other people grow in their career. And now we're going to jump into really talking about what we call balanced leadership and mastering your time. And I feel like most people, when they want to talk to me and they hear I'm a life coach, they want to talk about life balance. And every time they say that, I just kind of cringe a little bit. I'm like, oh boy. Okay, so that is a big question that there is no pat answer for. Melanie, do you experience that as well?
Yeah, definitely. I think that the number one thing that I hear from people and across all sectors, everybody, every level of leadership really is that they don't have enough time, or when they're not doing something they want to, so they don't have time for it. And so it's really just figuring out what is important. And yeah, it's not about having the best balance. It's about being intentional with what you're doing and spending your time in the ways that are most meaningful for you.
Yeah, I think it's time and energy. Like, I know I can flit around. I'm just flit away, I should say, time, because I don't have enough energy. I don't have enough emotional energy to get done whatever the task is. And then, like, once I hit deadline or something, then the task will take me like 10 minutes, but I have avoided it for 2.5 months. I don't know. This is crazy.
One thing that was instrumental in changing how I managed my time and energy was looking at how I actually schedule things, because I was constantly making sure I had a to-do list of work things and tasks and, household chores and all of these different things, but I wasn't planning for the other things that were important. And I learned this from 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, that you have to plan for every aspect of your life. Otherwise, you're just going to prioritize the work. So I started saying, okay, this week I'm going to hang out with my family. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to reach out to someone, so that I'm putting as much emphasis on the things outside of work as my to-do list required.
Melanie, that was excellent. Well, good. Well, let's start helping our listeners really prepare for their summer and how they can maximize their summer by having their life balanced, having this leadership balanced. And when we say balanced, we have probably a different definition than the conventional word. What do you kind of see in your world? Number one way that you see our clients and just people, maybe even yourself, getting burned out because of their time.
That's a great question, Shondell. I think my biggest struggle is that I say yes to so many things without asking a whole lot of questions, figuring out what really is the time commitment. I want to help, I want to be there for people, so I say yes, and then I'm like, who planned your day? Because you have no free time. And a lot of the times I'm saying yes to things that is taking energy to do. It's not something that I really enjoy doing. Like when I offer to make a spreadsheet, I will just be a happy little camper all evening doing it and have joy. But most of the time, it's more like social events and doing things. And so by the time I go out and I do that, I come home and I'm exhausted. And then I don't have energy left over to do some of the other things that I need to do and I should be doing, but aren't my favorite things to do.
I think you're the only person in my life that really gets energized by doing spreadsheets. So that's one reason I love being your friend. I'll go talk to everybody, Melanie, if you'll do this spreadsheet.
Exactly.
I love it. I think I'm just the opposite in a way. I cannot get my brain a lot around all the details it takes to get something done that is not enjoyable for me. Like it takes a ton of energy for me. And again, it doesn't take that much time. So let me give you an example. One tool that has really helped me is the Working Genius. It's by Patrick Lencioni and the Table Group, who I love, who we love. And it has three stages of work, which is ideation, activation, and then implementation. And there are six different geniuses that are required, two in each of those stages. And it starts with kind of the brainstorming, which is called the wonder stage. And then there is the invention stage. And those two together create the ideation. So that's all brainstorming. And Melanie, I can brainstorm all day. I love it. It's fun for me. Then you go into the activation, which is discerning if the idea is a good idea and the practicality of it. I'm an ID, which is that invention, discernment. I can pretty much know if something's a good idea pretty quick. And then it goes into the galvanizing, getting people excited about it, disrupting what's going on so we can do something different. And I can do that, but I don't love doing that. So that takes a lot of energy for me. So that's the D and the G, and that is in the activation stage of work. And then you go into the implementing. And the implementing is the E and the T, which is enabling and tenacity. And I do not have any tenacity. It's a frustration for me. I don't like it. It drains my energy. And whenever I get into the end of finishing something, I got nothing. And not only that, I have to really think about it. Like it drains me thinking about how drained I'm going to be to do it. And so I love to surround myself with T's. And yet I think I drive them crazy, Melanie.
I think it's so important to know yourself, to know what you're good at, what you're strong in, what you like to do, and what's going to cause you stress. Because then once you know that, you can try to plan around it. So I also have zero tenacity. And so if I plan to do something that is going to drain my energy at a time where I have no energy, I'm not going to be effective. It's going to take me way longer to do it. And I'm really just going to be frustrated and then wasting a lot of time. But if I plan those activities after something that energizes me, now I have the energy to carry over into the tasks that I don't love so much.
That's such a great way to look at it. I know Scott and I learned, and I wish I could give credit to the person I learned this from, but I don't remember. But Scott uses it all the time. And it's your green zone, yellow zone, and red zone. And if you map out your day where your best zones are, so his is it morning after his coffee, and that is his green zone. He knows when that green zone is, and that's where he needs to do reading and studying and those kind of, because it takes a lot of concentration for him. And then he goes into a yellow zone. That's where he needs to stop doing that and start doing something else. And then his red zone, which is the afternoon, is when he'll go out and do his yard work, because it doesn't require any mental energy and it needs to get done, and he enjoys it actually. So he's kind of done this great mastery. When I wake up in my green zone, well, I've got 1,000 ideas, right? Because that's my genius, is coming up with a bunch of ideas. And then if you couple that with then my clarity report, you're going to see my high D, things are urgent, we got to get things done. And so I'll come out all hot and ready to go, man. It's like, let's get after these things. And he has been really good about that. I will do that in my red zone. And I'm like, well, that's a great idea. You know, I should go do something like that in my red zone. So it helps each other when we know those green, yellow, and red zones to be able to know where that is. And I know, Melanie, your zones are not the same as my zones.
Yeah, definitely. And it helps us as individuals to plan our days and figure out what we need to do when, but it also helps a team. You know, when we're together, we figure out where our green, yellow, and red, and what activities do we need to do in each of those areas, and how do we overlap them so that we're having the most effective meetings. Because My green zone is probably going to look a lot different than your green zone. And so it might actually make more sense for us to do a brainstorming task in my yellow zone or, whatnot. So we have to figure out what skills do we need to bring and how can we come together and spend our time most effectively. And I think that's the key here is how do you use this information to be intentional and be effective and get so much more done in a short amount of time?
Yeah, I think the other tool that I love using for myself is what I was talking about with is the clarity report. I should have probably even started with that. I really love this free-flowing conversation because it makes me realize how these go together. And like my clarity report, if I am not careful, I will chase urgent things instead of the important things, which are fun for me. I love nothing more than to have a problem to solve in the moment. I'm really good at on the fly. I'm really good at spontaneity. I'm good at thinking while I'm talking. I'm great when plans change. And so that's my strengths I offer, right? I have these ideas, I have all sorts of things. Where it gets in my way constantly and keeps me out of my balance is when everything's urgent and I'm living in an urgent world. And because I wake up in early in the morning in a green zone with a lot of stuff to accomplish during that day, if I do not realize that that cannot carry through the day, because I will find myself at 5 o'clock at night still having urgent things to do. And in reality, they're just the first thing on my mind. And so what I'm learning to do, and I've been learning this for 25 years, is we have to put tasks together. And if I do that, if I just sit down at my computer and do email, not flit over here to the text, flit over here to this, go over there, da 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 da. I think working at home has been a real hard thing for a lot of us because we go, oh, laundry. Oh, I need to go do put this in the crock pot. Oh, I gotta do this. And it's really difficult for people like me to stay in task mode, especially when I don't like doing them.
So I'm curious, Shondell, what are some ways that you stay in that mode? Like, how do you avoid those bad behaviors and really lean into being your most effective self?
Yeah, well, one of them is for me, my Shondell zone is I need to rest. And when I literally rest, and I have this beautiful thing called a 16-minute mental reset that I got from Carolyn Leaf, and I'll just lay down, put my feet up, and set a timer. The key is setting the timer because my brain somehow knows, oh, we're safe. We're not going to go over 16 minutes and it's going to be fine. And I will just sit there and force my brain to not think about anything. And before you know it, I'm asleep. And then I usually wake up just a few moments before the alarm goes off. And then I feel really refreshed. And it's almost like that mental reset, that quick little letting my body relax fully gives me the energy to then prioritize the rest of my day. And I'm usually golden when I get that. So that's one thing I do. And the other thing I do is the best of my ability, try not to be on email all day. I really try to have a time, and usually in the morning when I'm fresh or in the evening. I'm also really good at avoiding work that's task oriented. So if Scott is cooking dinner, then I can do email because I feel like, well, if I'm not doing email, I have to go help with dinner. And he doesn't mind being in there alone. But so that's really helpful. When I have someone around doing something, I stay a lot more focused. And it's so funny because when I first got into coaching, I don't know, almost 24 years ago, Melanie, the guy, his name was Thomas Leonard, he passed away. When I was in school, he was teaching this, that he would actually hire somebody to come over at, and babysit him. He'd pay him like $10 or $15 an hour just to sit in the room. Oh my gosh, that works for me. And so if I have someone here like watching over me, I get a lot that, and it sounds so silly, but it really works. Like I do well when I have other people. And that has a lot to do with my Enneagram, my two social. I like to have people help me do things.
Well, that's a great insight to have, especially as it relates to working from home and how do we get those things that are not inherently there. One thing that I've had to realize is that I get distracted so easily. And so when I'm in this task mode and working on things that I really don't want to do, I have to silence my phone, turn off all of the notifications so that I'm not constantly like, oh, what's this? What's that? Switching over to things because my brain doesn't want to do what I'm trying to do. And so it'll find every opportunity to say, oh, I actually need to do this or I need to do that. And so I
Definitely.
have to be really intentional about just turning it all off, being really focused and getting things done that need to get done.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a thousand things that people can do. I think the key is you have to really know yourself and have a ton of self-awareness. I love the fact that when I have self-awareness, that I'm making decisions based on my values. And sometimes that's hard because I want to just go do the fun things. But really, living by your values requires some discipline. And it's fun discipline, but it requires discipline. And when you're doing that, you've got this is so important to me. And then you really know yourself. I think that's the key that we're trying to drive home to everyone is you got to have this amazing self-awareness. When is your green zone? How do you work? Do you see things as urgent? Or do you put things off? The other side of my urgency, everything's important, is that time will take care of it. It'll be fine. Or I'll avoid that forever. So I have to know, are we avoiders? Are we people that will just do things all day long? Where do we need rest? Where do we need a little kick in the butt? I think of self-awareness is a lot, and we have a lot of tools that are helpful that way.
Yeah, I love that you brought up self-awareness because I think it's so important for people to really spend time reflecting on themselves. For so many years, I had no idea what energized me, what stressed me out, what helped, what didn't help. And really spending time reflecting on the day and saying, what did I enjoy? What did I struggle with? What got in my way? And starting to keep tabs on that because it's so easy to be on the hamster wheel and not notice. And when we don't notice, we can't make changes. We can't make ourselves more effective.
Yeah, and I am a big believer in creating margin in your day so that you're not overwhelmed. So having little, we call it white space in between events, in between calendars. What are you going to do in that time? Well, one, you're going to breathe, you're going to reset, and you're going to have this moment that you can clear your brain. See where you're at. And it's amazing because those little times that you have that white space, you can really accomplish more. I have a few clients who work through their lunch hour. You know, they eat at their desk. And I get it why they're doing it because they want to get all their work done to get home. But then they get home and they're exhausted and tired. And I'm like, why don't you try actually taking your lunch hour? And resting and taking time for yourself, and like literally say, this is my lunch hour. I'm doing this for myself. This is my 1 hour. You know, sometimes you actually have to remind yourself what you're doing, especially my introverted friends. You got to really take that hour and go sit in your car and take a nap. I don't know, whatever you got to do to be alone and really rejuvenate that tank so that when you go home, you can be your best. Sometimes we think, I'm just going to hammer through this. Well, then you get home and you're hammering through all your family stuff. There must be a time of reset.
I know for me, I get so involved in what I'm doing, I lose complete track of time. And when I don't have people around me reminding me what's going on, I'll end up working all day without stopping. And it'll be in the middle of the afternoon, and I'm like, well, you have not stopped. And so for people like me, it would probably be a good idea to like set timers to say, okay, you need your 10-minute break. And my watch tells me to stand up, but sometimes I get annoyed by it and I'm like, don't tell me what to do, watch, but I should listen.
I love that. Well, I think we've got some more fun ideas for people. And again, we really want to set the tone for this class that's coming up May 29th. You can sign up, Melanie. We'll put it in the show notes of how people can sign up. And really, we'd love for you to submit your issues. Like, what have you got going on? Because I think answering real problems and being able to talk to people about it is the key to really giving you the answers you need.
Definitely.
Melanie, as we land this plane, what do you really want our listeners to be hearing as they invested this 20 minutes?
What I hope that everyone takes away is just to start building that self-awareness muscle, to really start paying attention and recognizing where stress is coming from, where our energy is coming from, because that's truly going to be the first step. And then once we figure that piece out, then we can start to make changes to help ourselves be more effective.
Yeah, and I would say that if you can invest in that self-awareness by really knowing what does drive you, what is your discourse, and how does that affect your time management? What is your working genius? How does that really work out? Like, are you spinning your wheels in things that aren't your genius? And who's around that you can surround yourself with? And the other piece is really, I love the zones. Like, are you maximizing your green zone? And I think if we hit those things in more detail, one, y'all start working on it. And then by the time we're in our class on May 29th, you're going to have one, make progress, and two, be able to go a little bit deeper in tools. All right, you know how to find us. We are at shondellgroup.com. And if you hadn't subscribed to our newsletter, you can do so at shondell.com. And as always, we want you to be the best you can be today.
Bye-bye.